me on the phone now, I have Brian Collins. Brian is the senior solicitor at the Refugee Council of Ireland. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hi there. How are you? Good, thanks.
Not too bad at all, Brian. Thanks for talking to us this morning. Brian, last week, last Wednesday, I think, the Refugee Council launched a manual. It's entitled the Early Legal Advice Manual. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Basically, the idea behind the manual is, well, since about 2011, we've had a project here dealing with early legal advice for asylum seekers. Basically, in Ireland, the way that legal aid works is that generally through the first instance procedure, asylum seekers generally won't have a whole lot of contact with a solicitor and they receive very little support through the first instance process. And what's been happening is very few people have been recognised as refugees through the first instance procedure. And legal aid has focused on the appeal stage. So what we have done is said, well, what if you actually put those resources in at the first stage? And we say that it leads to kind of better quality decisions, that it's fairer for the applicant, and it's also better for the state as it reduces costs because people aren't kind of making unnecessary appeals. So with the manual, what we've tried to do is demonstrate best practice in this area and just create a very practical guide for other lawyers who can maybe see the value in early legal advice and can take on a case and say, look, it's a step-by-step guide, really, for lawyers to show them how you might take on an early legal advice case.
Yeah, I suppose for a lot of people, because, you know, we don't live through it, we don't understand, a lot of people sure. just probably don't understand the complexities and what's involved in a case where somebody is seeking asylum. I know there's a lot of people out there think that people just... you know, torn up at the airport or they torn up in Ireland and it's all easy, but it's a quite a complex issue.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, you must show that you have a well-founded fear for one of five reasons. So that's for either race, religion, nationality or membership of a particular social group. So you must demonstrate that. And basically people will have different ways of doing that. Well, they will have a short interview when they claim asylum initially, and then they will have a longer interview later on. But essentially, we would help people assist them in kind of preparing a document called a personal statement, which will set out the full set of their claim, and will also assist people gathering any evidence which might support their claim as well. For example, a number of clients we would have been victims of torture, so we would refer people to a specialist service which will assist them basically preparing something called a medical legal report, and that will kind of, you know, assess if they have any scarring and also their kind of psychological condition and say whether that is consistent with the narrative of their story. So we kind of help the applicant to put forward their case to the first instance decision maker. And basically what we found is when people have that extra assistance at the beginning, they're more likely to get a better quality decision. And it makes sense from the applicant's point of view and also from the point of view of the decision maker. But certainly, it isn't an easy process. And I think there's a lot of myths, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, people may think that people are granted asylum willy-nilly. That really isn't the case.
Yeah, because I suppose, first and foremost, any applicant who comes into this country seeking asylum, I suppose, for yourselves as solicitors, suppose, you know, there's a lot of time has to be spent just understanding each other. I mean, for the applicant, they have to understand the vagaries of Irish law, how asylum law works. And from the solicitor, I suppose, you have to get to understand the person's situation. So a lot, it's a very time-consuming process.
Yeah, it is indeed. And, you know, one of the big things is actually interpretation, because the client, you know, oftentimes won't speak English. So we obviously would have to use an interpreter, and it's ensuring that you get somebody who's properly qualified and can kind of assist in a meaningful way. Because what happens is, obviously, if there is poor interpretation, that can lead to errors. And then maybe it looks like there's inconsistencies in the case when that isn't actually what's happening. And so it does mean that people need a lot of support, and really they're in quite a vulnerable position. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that need to be looked at, but certainly one of them is getting a proper interpreter just to ensure that it's accurate at least, because if people are trying to put forward their case and they can't even communicate properly, that can be a huge issue.
Absolutely. I wonder, Brian, if you just indulge me for a minute and maybe explain then where direct provision comes into the process. What way does that work with regards to asylum seekers?
Okay, sure. So essentially, when people enter the asylum process, first, most of them are housed in a reception centre, first in Dublin, and then they will be dispersed throughout the country. So that system is called direct provision. So while people are within that system, they don't have a right to work, and they receive an allowance of 1910 per week for an adult and 960 for a child. Yeah. Having said that, they do have a roof over their head and they do have do get their meals.
Yeah.
But one of the things which really has been problematic over the years is that very few people have been granted asylum for a variety of reasons at the first instance. So then they will then appeal, and then if there's a poor decision at the appeal stage, those will often be judicially reviewed in the High Court. And so it's a very lengthy process, and it can mean that people are living in direct provision for just years and years, and it really doesn't help anybody in terms of family life, in terms of mental health, in terms of just living a normal life. And people want to contribute to the community, and that's very difficult because there's a prohibition on working. So really it's the length of time is one of the big issues. But also, if whole families living in one room, it is quite difficult. But one of the things that's contributed to that is poor decision making. So what we are trying to do with this project is say, look, get it right the first time, and then people won't hopefully be living in the system for so long,
Yeah, well, that was why I wanted to ask you about the direct provision, because again, you know, we hear the stories of people being in direct provision, as you say, for years and years and years. And as you say, hopefully with this manual now, at the fourth stage, at the beginning of the process, we can probably avoid maybe some of the mistakes that were made before, some of the misunderstandings, and hopefully the process will become much more efficient and fluid for everybody, because it affects for the country as well. It's not good for people for the courts to be clogged up with these constantly appeals and appeals and appeals and appeals. We need a more fluid process.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense, certainly from the state's perspective, that costs aren't spent, in the courts defending decisions like that. I mean, what we would like to see, we're just a small office here, is for our model of service to be adopted by the mainstream legal aid system, because at the moment, the mainstream legal aid is focusing their resources on the appeal stage. So manual is meant to build the capacity of other lawyers, and hopefully will be taken on by the mainstream legal aid, so that they will tailor their service and say, look, we're going to create an early legal advice service here.
Yeah.
So I think it really does make sense from the state's perspective to want to get it right, and it's also a cost-saving thing, and to build confidence in the asylum system as well, that people are being recognised when they ought to be recognised, and that those who don't qualify for refugee status are refused, if that's appropriate,
Yeah. And of course, we have seen, especially in recent months, a huge upsurge in migrants into Europe. So you'd be hoping at the Refugee Council that the manual will be able to transfer throughout Europe and become kind of the mainstay of processing asylum applications across Europe?
Sure. Well, it's certainly something we hope that can be picked up in different countries. So we'll be having it translated into French and German as well. So really, it's very practical, and we've kind of framed it according to EU directives. So a lot of the same laws would be applicable across the EU. There's something called the Common European Asylum System. So at least in theory, it's supposed to be, you should get kind of the same kind of process and the same rights if you claim in Ireland as if you claim in Germany. So hopefully if a lawyer in Germany picks up the manual that and they're assisting somebody through the first instance procedure, that they will be able to get something from it as well. So I think, it hopefully is something that's transferable and that people will find practical and useful. And again, as you say, it's a really hot button issue at the moment and people are coming in. So I imagine states will want to kind of get people through the process quickly, but also make sure that they're getting a fair fair and efficient kind of, you know, yeah, assessment of their claim as well.
Well, Brian, listen, you know, anything, I suppose, that relieves the pressure on our system and makes, you know, the asylum seeking process easier for everybody to walk through, both the applicant and the lawyers and the state and everybody else, has to be welcome, because we certainly want to move away from a system where people are in the asylum or the direct provision process for 10, 12 years or whatever it is, and this is to be welcomed. Listen, if anybody wants further information, where can they get it?
Sure. Well, we have a website, the IrishRefugeeCouncil.ie, and we'd have lots of different sections there where you can take a look at events, and there may be things coming up which people may be interested in. So we'd love to hear from people if they have any comments or would like to assist in some way.
And as you say, always lots of good information for people who want to maybe just log on to the website and just see what the Refugee Council is up to, and what's, because there's always you're always there to help people if they're looking for that kind of help.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's quite an interesting area at the moment as well. And people, just for their own general information, the manual is uploaded there if they want to have a look through and see what the process is actually like for an asylum seeker and the various steps. I mean, if somebody has a lot of time in their hands, they might like to do that. But certainly it is kind of, you know, there's interesting parts to it as well. And it is a very much an issue that's in the media, and people are thinking about it a lot. So it's good to have the right information and not to be kind of going forward on the basis of myths as well.
Absolutely. Brian, listen, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll keep an eye. We might talk to you again in the new year, see how things are going.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Not at all, Brian. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.